we've entered here is a serious crisis. We see that Alan Greenspan, I think it was last week, he said that this credit tsunami happens once a century. He didn't say which century, but that's Greenspan's view. Eric Hobsbawm, the very distinguished English historian, speaking on the BBC, he said that this is the most serious crisis since the Depression of 1929. Now, the cause of the crisis, some speak about the credit crunch. Others speak about the collapse of the financial bubble. Some even speak about the collapse in demand. But so far as I'm concerned, based on my studies, it seems that the root of the problem is what we call the decline in the rate of profit. I can't elaborate on what that is, and I don't really have to because the other members of the panel will be, I think some of them will be discussing this this nub of the question, the decline in the rate of profit. Basically, there's a certain accumulated capital. The ratio between this accumulated capital and further investment tends to decline, and investment is discouraged as a result. Now, in terms of the, I'm looking at this from a historical point of view. What does this mean in relationship to previous experience? And we see that previously there have been two great crises of capitalism. There was one, the first big depression was between 1873 and 1896. The second depression, 1929 to 1939. The first depression between 1873 and the end of the 19th century, it ended, and there was a certain amount of government intrusion, but it ended in right at the end of the century, and things seemed to go on. But the consequences of that depression led to certain fundamental developments, which had, except for one, catastrophic effect, because the crisis promoted the development of what we call monopoly capitalism, imperialism, colonialism, an arms race, ultranationalism, and finally this exploded in World War I, and at the end of that we saw the Russian Revolution. Then after the war, there was a certain period of so-called normalcy when finally the world then exploded again, a second Great Depression between 1929 and 1939. And the same phenomena, that is to say, monopoly capitalism, imperialism, colonialism, an arms race, ultra-nationalism, and this time racism, became more and more prominent. The governments became more intrusive during this period, the fascist governments most of all. And it all ended in war, terrible war, and it led the war, which really the significance of this from an economic point of view was the introduction of comprehensive war socialism. That is to say, the government took control of the economy completely. And it was this that enabled, at the end of the war, the emergence of capitalism once again, but this time a regulated capitalism, the famous Keynesian period. But it's important to note that it was war socialism which made possible the ensuing period of regulated capitalism or Keynesian capitalism. And we also should note that the war brought a second great revolution, the Chinese Revolution. Now, the period that we're in now seems to me suggests that great change is coming, that great change will come. And that I say that because, of course, the economic crisis and the problem of restoring the rate of profit is fundamental to this crisis, but compounding this problem is the ecological crisis. The two are coincident, and in fact, they, in a way, are in contradiction with one another, because the restoration of the rate of profit, the restoration of investment, the restoration of growth, of course, ecologically contradictory. It's erosive of ecological conditions. So the crisis is a profound crisis because it involves both ecology and the economic problem in contradiction. Secondly, the acute social polarization in all countries and worldwide, the acute polarization that's developed and the terrible poverty that accompanies this social polarization. That's the second big factor. The third big factor I point out is the fact that the United States, which since 1945 occupied a hegemonic role in the world economy, could sort of direct and it could organize politically and economically the capitalist world. Some of its feathers have been plucked, and some say that in fact its dominance, its hegemony, has come into question. At the same time, the its ability to regulate the world is in question. And secondly, the ability of the other states in coordination with one another to regulate the world is also questionable, especially questionable because, frankly, this world is based on competition, competition between nations, competition between different centers of capital accumulation, and how these centers are supposed to cooperate with one another is very elusive. They're in competition with one another. So that it seems to me, if we, let us suppose that we avoid war, the two positive choices that lie before us, and here I'm winding up, are, first of all, in terms of getting out of this crisis, there is the idea of regulated capitalism, and even the capitalists have moved towards a position of regulated capitalism, but abandoning, of course, their overnight, turning on a dime, abandoning their vaunted neoliberalism, which was, of course, the answer to everything. Politicians are following. Well, it seems to me that we have one real experience of regulated capitalism, and that was the period after 1945 until 1973, the Keynesian period. But remember, that followed a war socialist economy, and the war socialist economy made Keynesianism possible, in my opinion. How this regulated capitalism, even if they pump up demand, is actually going to restore the rate of profit remains problematic. The other possibility is, of course, eco-socialism. And we do know what eco-socialism is. There's a lot of recent good theory on what an eco-socialist world would look like. It seems to me perfectly possible. And what we, that is your choice, we need to do three things. First of all, we have to raise consciousness, explain to people what the crisis is and what the positive alternative might be. Secondly, we have to organize ourselves. And thirdly, we need to find leadership in terms of moving in that direction. And with that, I'll stop talking.